Hello everyone, this is Mike Quinsey connecting the light. My guest today is Eddie Mullins, who describes himself as an angel intuitive, angelic channel, author, spiritual teacher and educator. So welcome to the show, Eddie.
Thanks, Mike. Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to this.
Oh, you're welcome. I've had different guests on who've had experiences with angels, but your presentation sounds a little bit different. Now, saying different brings me immediately to the first question. You said that as a child you knew you were different from other kids, and especially compared with your brothers. So would you like to tell us about that early part in your life?
Yeah, it's, you know, I always, you know, I truly believe that I came in with this awareness of spirit, and because I grew up in a family that wasn't really connected to religion or spirituality or even metaphysical awareness. And so, but I came in, and as a young child, I always knew that there was some type of connection that I had with, I simply knew who God and Jesus and the angels were. And so that was a very powerful perspective for me. But I just always had this, my intuition was just really wide open, and I would have these feelings that I would get, and these really vivid dreams of things that had happened in the past. And I was, as a child, I would dream a lot about past lives, and even not knowing it at the time. And I really didn't know that I was any different, but in some ways I did, because I was very, very, different than, I have two brothers, very different than my brothers, in terms of my interests. And I just felt very disconnected in some ways from my family, because I had just a different vibration, different way of looking at things. So I just had a lot of experiences, and, you know, through my dream state, but also, at nighttime was always very difficult for me as a child. I had my own room, and I could really feel energies, spirit energies, and I would be terrified one minute and comforted the next minute. And, you know, had, you know, as I got a little bit older, started to have some really awakening experiences, visually seeing angels and spirit, mm-hmm. and all of that. So that's kind of a shorter version of what really happened.
Well, that's remarkable. You did say at times you were frightened, and at other times you felt sort of comfortable with it. But I would have thought for most young children to see apparitions, whether they were pleasant or otherwise, might well have been quite frightening. When you had these early contacts, if I may call them that, with angelic beings or similar,
yes,
did they at that stage sort of talk to you?
Yeah, I had quite a few experiences. The earliest experience that when I look back and can, you know, kind of take a collective thought of that is when I was waking up either out of a nap or in the morning in my crib, and remember seeing all this light around the outside of my crib as I was looking up. And it was, and then suddenly they started to take forms of faces and angels, and I could see, you know, feel the connection that they were angels. And years later, I recognized one of them as one of my guardian angels, because as a child, I was not as clairvoyant as I am now. More so connect a very deep connection to energy, very deep connection, and a very deep sense of knowing. I just simply knew that these were angels, or if they were a spirit guide, or there was a spirit that was not quite so aligned like the angels were. But, you know, I had that experience. And then when I was 7 years old, I was, doing my little tracing thing that I used to do when I was a kid, and I heard a voice in back of me saying, "Help other people help themselves." And I knew, I didn't really know what the direction of that was, but I knew it was important, so I wrote it on top of the paper that I was writing on, and I know now that that was Archangel Michael telling me a piece of my life purpose. And so it was, you know, I wasn't afraid, or, you know, so I came in with that sense of knowing, as a collective, knowing that angels are high vibrational and very much into that awareness. So it was a very powerful experience. So those are a couple of experiences I had, and, you know, and periodically through my life up until my 20s, I had, they were popping in and out, and I could, you know, get messages, and it was very powerful.
Again, though, in those early years, what type of messages did they give you?
The biggest message that they were always conveying to me is telling me that I understood what self-love was, and really that I would teach, and as well as a child could understand that, but just really a lot of messages about in those early stages about, you know, we're going into a peaceful state. And I would have these dreams of being shown the planet Earth as having more state of consciousness and people getting along better and people aligning better. But they also showed me very much like tropical weather a lot that was coming forward. So that was kind of like what we're experiencing now. And the tropical weather just really represents a collective of moving forward and finding peacefulness. So in a sense, the visual of kind of like being on a vacation, they would show me that, but also for my life, they would continually show me speaking in front of people. And so for a long time as a child, I thought I was supposed to be a singer because I grew up way in the backwoods. And that's what the only thing I had to compare it to was being a singer, being an actor, that type of thing. So for a long time, I thought that's what my purpose was, to make a whole lot of people happy and do that type of thing. And when the voice didn't come and that. But then I realized later on that was about being a speaker and about being a spiritual teacher and just really having that awakening. So there was a lot of messages just really around teaching me how to really embrace self-love, because again, I feel like I came in knowing what that was, but I, as any human does, we have to work through the stages of self-love. So that's kind of the premises of my work, is really helping people to, you know, from those early learnings from the angels, to really step into a deeper sense of self-love and see people for who they are and not what they have, you know, development that they have arrived at.
And I no. Notice you said, and I'll quote your words on this, that you wondered why you had to get involved in so many subjects that you said you were a waste of time. Now, that must have made your years at school somewhat boring, because you evidently already knew that the object of your life or the goal for you did not involve the normal subjects. It was something that, from an early age, by the sound of it, you intuitively knew about. So,
it was very difficult because I remember always saying to my parents, "Why do I have to learn this? This has nothing to do with my life. This has nothing to do with what I'm going to be doing in the future." And of course, you know, as parents would say, no, you need to learn this. These are tools that you need to learn. So right. It was very, very difficult for me. I felt very trapped a lot of times, and I was pick up very deep energy, especially in history class and civics classes and those types of classes where it was about the past. I would pick up those energies from war and when we were talking about certain levels of finance in different countries, I would pick up the intensity of that energy. So a lot of times I was, you know, trying to go home sick because I was really feeling sick from energy. And I was also picking up energies from other, you know, students and teachers. And so there was a lot of that. But the subject wise, I just really always just wanted nothing to do with most of the subjects, unless that was about peace and compassion, which you don't have many of those.
No. So when you had these, let me call them visions, mm-hmm. were they ever prophetic in any way?
Were they ever what?
Prophetic? I mean, did you sort of see images of how things would be rather than what they were at the moment?
Yes, I used to see that quite a bit. And again, as a child, I was more feeling-oriented, so I would feel it versus actually see it. So, but in situations, they would give me the feeling of where, you know, the outcome of something and the way it should be and, you know, in the action that was happening. Okay, this is what's happening right now. But ultimately, beyond that, this is what truly is happening. So there was a lot of learning that way because, you know, things were coming through in vibration. But I was getting a real strong sense of, you know, when there was, you know, disaster in terms of more or less with people. I didn't see like global disasters as much as a child. But I would really sense those and get a sense of what the outcome should be. Sometimes humans control that a little bit, but if there is, you know, and when something was happening, I could really sense the outcome of it, and that's usually what happened.
Yes, now, you were told you will help other people help themselves.
Yes.
How long was it before you actually learnt the nature of the work you had to do to achieve that?
Took a lot of years.
Yeah.
Now, I fought a lot. I would embrace the angels and spirit, and then I would move back to my human experience and saying, oh, I have to be, you know, I worked in retail management for a long time, and I thought, you know, this is just going to be what it is, and I'm not meant to do this, and because I wasn't clear on my direction. All I knew is I was supposed to help people. And so I did several different professions. I was a motivational speaker. I was a corporate trainer. I went through a lot of education, two different degrees, and just knew that I was supposed to help people. But really, in all of that, it was all worth it because I learned a lot of tools that apply to what I'm doing now. So it wasn't until I was this is when I was working in the fitness industry. I was driving back into the city. I was living in Minneapolis, Minnesota at the time, and driving back into the city after teaching a fitness class. And I'm on the interstate heading back toward the city, and I get this strong impression that I needed to change lanes. And I was kind of tired. It was in the evening, so I just changed lanes into the far lane. And as soon as I changed to the far lane, I noticed up ahead of me there was this something white in the road. And as I got a little bit closer, I realized what had happened is a semi-truck trailer had turned over in the lane that I was driving in. And then that's when I realized that things were different. But I didn't realize that till the next day because I was very stubborn about this whole process. And so... But then I realized, I got very emotional the next day and realized that I had been saved. And then that's when I started asking for more extensive guidance from the angels on direction, training, and because I truly believe for a long time, even after this, that, you know, spiritual teachers are these people that are just chosen and they're perfect and they do nothing wrong. And I didn't see myself that way. So I never didn't believe that the angels and God and all that existed. It's just what I had issues with is that I was the one that was going to be doing it because I wasn't one of the chosen one, I thought. So, but then things started to evolve and change, and the spirit just, it was just more directed toward me, and it was more consistent at that point. Where before it was kind of here and there, not consistent, but when things started to evolve and a big weight had been lifted from me from that point on.
Right. Now, you obviously realized you certainly did have a purpose in life for which they saved you from that accident, and who knows how serious that might have been. You mentioned that you became close and worked, I think, ever since your first introduction to Archangel Michael. What part does he play in the work you do?
Well, I work for everything that I do, he is a part of. We're very much linked, and it has a lot to do. I have a lot of warrior energy, and from past lives, and you know, every time I have any type of reading, or even when I'm on shows sometimes and people do readings, just the host will throw in stuff. I have a really old soul, and so I do have a lot of warrior energy, and that's the connection I have to Archangel Michael. But it's more about stepping into your power, and I think a lot of it too, like a lot of people I had, you know, as I've been talking about, troubles really realizing that I deserved all this, and that's part of his role is to help us to feel safe in that, but also to help us to step into our life purpose with compassion and not to be afraid of it and not embrace fear. And so he just played a really strong role, and there's just been a really strong bond with Archangel Michael since I arrived. And so he's one of the archangels that I consistently, everything that I do is created with him, everything.
Wonderful. Yes, that sounds absolutely wonderful, I must say. You mentioned that you had knowledge of your past lives. Did you find anything in your past that linked in with what you're doing now? I mean, was there some sort of progression in your learning and preparation for this time?
Yeah, it was. I've always been every past, you know, we've all had many past lives, but everyone that I've been connected to for a reason, and that's what I truly believe we get connected to. But it was every single lifetime that I've been connected to, I was a light worker and a healer. and always in some of those lifetimes, it was not okay, and most of them actually was not okay to do what I do now. You know, so you can see where we've evolved, but I can see from the past lives that I've been connected to that I evolved with each one. There was a different type of learning and life lessons that came in there, as that's what our past lives are connected to. But yeah, I could see as the work I'm doing today was really, because there was always work with angels. There was always the psychic and intuitive awareness and trying to be a healer and trying to figure out and to be comfortable with that. And usually before too long, in those lifetimes, I was actually killed or executed, and there was always a connection to the church in many of those lifetimes, and they were usually the ones that killed me. So,
oh, right.
so yeah.
Oh, dear. I love the way you say, oh, that without batting an eyelid.
Yes.
You obviously accepted the idea of having lived many times, so I certainly do, and I know lots of other people do. Now, where did your healing start to come in, or your healing abilities, I should say?
You know, it's something that I've kind of always had. I think it was the experience of healing my own life, and really, because I spent a lot of years being angry and frustrated and felt very isolated because of being a light worker and all of that. But it was when I started to really let go of that and started to do some really deep forgiveness of my, you know, my family and friends and situations and forgiveness of myself, that I really started to see the energy healing come in and the shamanic healing come in as a combination, and it continues to open up, and it's from a hot, very high vibration, and so it's something that just kind of showed up in a sense. So it wasn't as if I went after it, because I didn't really think in this lifetime I was going to be doing any type of energy healing or shamanic healing or those types of healings, and I just incorporated in my angel work. So it's something that I'll probably down the road be teaching about in my certifications.
Right, now I've come across quite a few people that have contact with Archangel Michael, and a number of them seem to do channeling and send out messages. Is that part of your role, or is it purely more of a personal contact for you?
No, I do channels too. I mean, ultimately when I do my radio show, it's when I get done with it, I don't remember anything that happened. Usually I have to go back and listen to it, because it's a complete infusion with the angels. I mean, it's me talking, but I can tell when I listen to the show, I can tell what's them and what's me. And so I do, infuse that. It's very easy for me to channel and bring forward that higher vibrational message in terms of that. Because it's just vibration is what it is.
Yeah, and I've often noticed that Archangel Michael says quite freely, contact me, call me if you want help. So it seems he does make himself very available to anybody that's on the path and needs help.
Yes. Yeah, and that's true with all the angels, is you simply have to ask for help. Because of the free will, we need to ask for help. And, you know, and it is very important that we do ask for everything, and we can have those deep conversations, and they will help us through everything. And Archangel Michael, when he comes in, is just very, his energy is very strong. He's just very supportive in terms of where you're going, and they're never going to scold you for anything that you've had issues with or anything of that nature. But they're very helpful, very useful in terms of, you know, moving and development, especially when we're working with deep healing and forgiveness and just really moving into that alignment. That's really powerful. So anybody and everybody can contact and talk to the angels and spirit, for that matter.
Now, one of the things you're quite strong on is trust. And I gather that you had your personal lesson about trust when you were preparing and teaching for your first angel workshop. Perhaps you'd like to tell us about that one.
Yeah, it was, you know, the big thing with trust is trust comes in many levels. And as I, you know, was talking earlier here with you, Mike, that, you know, I had some issues with trust. I mean, I didn't really believe that this was happening. I thought I was making it up. And so when I got ready to do my first angel course, because it was a whole process of, I had to go to Sedona, Arizona to be shown that you can teach from the angels. So you know, I attended a workshop there, and it was like, it was apparent that that's why I was brought there, to be shown that, you know, it's time for you to start teaching. So then when I went back home to Minneapolis, I was nervous about it, but I knew that this was something that I needed to do. So I went and got it all set up, and I had my doubts, and I was being told, oh, you don't expect too many people. And, you know, to make a long story short, you know, a lot of people did attend, you know, for my first class. And as I was going into it, I was really driven with my ego, because I thought, this is not going to work. This is not going to work. So I had, you know, different situations where I really had to trust. And so I had a situation in that first workshop where I was taking people through a past life regression, and I was thinking, I've never done a past life regression. And prior to that, Archangel Raziel came in and said, it's time to do a past life regression. Of course, I hadn't done it with a group before. So I was, again, drawing on my ego, and he's saying, just follow my lead, follow my lead. And so the participants were all on yoga mats around this U-shaped table. So I was kind of in the center of this U-shaped table and couldn't really, you know, get out to the students. So I was guiding and guiding, and I, you know, was in the process, and it was going great. And but again, my ego was coming in, and it was getting a little scary. I'm like, they're not going to get anything out of this. I'm going to be, they're not going to believe in me, and all this stuff. And then I, over in the corner, I saw this mouse come out from underneath this cabinet. And I thought, oh gosh, what else could happen here? This is going to be a disaster. If this mouse runs across someone, this is going to be right. A nightmare. So what I had to do is actually, you know, because I couldn't get out, I had to crawl over the table as I'm doing this, you know, past life regression, and walk toward the mouse, and he went back underneath the counter. So that was, you know, and that whole thing was about, you know, and I wrote about that recently in a blog, but it's really about, I had to trust that I could do a past life regression, and as it ended up, everyone got an amazing result from that past life regression. So it was a matter of me trusting and just surrendering to the angels and saying, yes, I trust you to get me through this. So that's kind of one of the stories that has happened.
Yes. I think people get a similar experience, and I can vouch for that as well. It's like when you give your first talk, yep. There's always, I think, a little hesitancy, and you think, I wonder how it will go, and maybe you're a little doubtful. So it is nice that the proof comes, well, in your case, in the very first workshop you did. Yes. Now, you mentioned past life regressions in that workshop. Is that a feature of all the ones you do?
Yeah, I mean, I incorporate it. It's not something that I specialize in. I incorporate it a lot. I'm more about really healing what's going on here, because when you heal what's going on right here and now, it's going to heal your past lives. So I used to focus some of my work. I used to actually do past life counseling, that type of thing, too, with my practice. But then I started doing more of it in workshop form, and so people could get an idea of it. The main reason I do it in workshop form is so they can get an idea that it is real. It does exist, because that will come in. So it's more about that. So it's more about the healing process and all of that. So that's, you know, I kind of leave it in the workshops now versus actually taking appointments for it.
All right. I noticed reading about your workshop that you said once you started to do these past life regressions, the words came flowing out of your mouth so naturally. And I thought, yes, that reminds me of when I used to be more involved in giving talks. Mm-hmm. I found the same thing, almost as though it wasn't direct voice, but it was almost as though someone was speaking through me.
Yes, yes. And that's really how it happens. I mean, when I do meditations too, it's just like people often ask me, because I don't really prepare meditations. It just comes through me. It just comes to me. And people often ask me, well, where did you find that meditation? I said, well, I channel it in. It comes in. And same with my talks too, and my radio shows. You know, I kind of have an idea where I'm going, and it just kind of merges together, and all the information comes in. And I often think, wow, where did that come from? But I know, yes, where it came from. So, but yeah, yes, it just it comes to you. And I think we use this in every life, and we just don't always pay attention, especially if we're not conscious of it. Everybody has the ability to do it. You know, when I first started doing this work, I was reading about what channeling is, and I was doing it for years and didn't even know I was doing it because that's not what I read. I truly believe it's different for everybody, and it comes in, and it's not always, you know, your voice changes and you're in trance and all that kind of stuff. But the information just comes in very, very flowing and very freely.
Okay, now you're aware that the planet is shifting.
Yes.
Presumably you're also aware that there will be an ascension process, possibly at the end of this year. But what is your view about that?
What is my what about it?
What is your view about the idea of the shift or ascension?
Yeah, I think we've already gone through it. It's not really the end of this year, but what I'm trying to do with people right now is just to really get them to understand that it's a shift that we need, and there's more of the detail coming forward as we are getting close to the end of this year, because we're more vibrationally connected to it. But so much of the shift has already happened, and we're moving into a very high conscious level, and everybody's frequency is adjusting, and people are really feeling that. Like, people that were not connected or aware of intuition and energy are now like, wow, look at all this. And all of our frequencies are adjusting and moving up, and there is going to be, you know, more shifting toward the end of the year. But it's one of the things, you know, with the fear of the media, so to speak, of saying this is it, we're done. I often tell people that psychics and intuitives and healers who are bringing messages, who are you know, consciously and really dialed in and connected, if there was not going to be a continuation after this year, meaning the Earth, there would be no messages. There could be no messages about life on the planet Earth, because it would be done. And there's so many signs that we're continuing and shifting and moving in a good direction. There's a lot of spiritual children coming forward, and there has been for several years now. But as we get closer to the conscious shift, as we're focusing on it, there is a difference. There's more and more sensitive children and gifted children coming in to help, because they're coming in with awareness, and we need them. And so it's a very powerful time, and really ultimately the take on it is we're moving into a higher conscious awareness of love consciousness and being more aware of that. So there's more feeling of we're stepping into a space of really identifying and embracing self-identity and self-love. That's what I teach a lot about. But, you know, and that's where we're going. That shift is really bringing us into much clearer awareness of what we need to do and to really step into our power, step into our truth and speak our truth. We've held back for so long about because we're afraid to do this, and there's just a lot of things that are coming forward. You know, we're seeing, I like to call the end consciousness for this year in terms of alignment, is stepping into your true colors, because people are becoming more sensitive to energy, so they're not people aren't able to use that fictitious characteristic anymore, because people see right through it. So people are stepping into a higher vibration. The higher vibration we step into, the more we're able to see truth and we trust in what we're getting, and that's really the ideal situation for us on the planet at this time. So that's a little bit about what I see.
Indeed, yes. I think people that follow these type of subjects realize that where others refer to the main calendar, which shows the end occurring on the calendar on the 21st of December this year, they're beginning to understand that it doesn't mean it's the end of the world.
Right. And that's
thank
a good
goodness.
Thing. Yes.
But if it wasn't for that, that would be quite a frightening thought, I guess, if somebody said it's going to end on the 21st of December.
Right.
Anyway, I think there's a lot of messages and information coming through, and some of it, of course, from the type of beings that you're referring to, these young generations that have a greater level of consciousness and awareness.
Yes.
Now, you have said that, where's my little note here? Yes, it's time to create the space for the new by releasing and healing the old story alignments that no longer work for the new space that you are creating. Now, what do you mean by the old story alignments?
Yeah, a lot of times what we're into right now is we're holding on to old stories that no longer suit what we're doing anymore, and they probably never did. So when we hold on to those old, what I like to call disaster stories, and we hold on to them, they take up space, and we need to start realizing that this probably is not in your best interest. And we need to realize sometimes these, like, and those can be beliefs as well. Those old beliefs may have been something that you collected as a child from your parents, your grandparents, your neighbors, your teachers, and it may not even fit with you at that time. And it's just a belief that you collected, and it's still stored in the field. And so we need to unhook a lot of that. We need to do some, what I like to call, house cleaning. And the other important thing is with the shifting of the story and opening space is we need to look at what belief we had as children, and if that fits into being an adult, and most times it doesn't. And so that's where some confusion can come in too. So we need to really evaluate a lot of what we're hanging on to. And there's heavier energy that we've been able to collect for some time now, but we're in a lighter shifting vibration, and it's just not going to work. It's going to feel really uncomfortable in the body. And the idea is we want to create as much space as we can for new opportunity, because holding on to the old doesn't support you. It doesn't support you at all, and it really is, with this new alignment, it's going to come to the surface and it's going to cause problems. So in the past, we could really stuff things down, but now we have to, because now what happens is it floats to the surface and it's, you're being confronted with it. And that's why a lot of people in this past couple months have been really dealing with releasing family issues, dealing with childhood stuff, and just really addressing a lot of issues that they thought maybe they were done with, and that's a part of they wanted to stuff it down, and if they weren't complete with it, so it's now rising to the surface, and they know they're having to deal with it because the body's reacting to it. So that's, you know, opening more space, because we need that conscious space.
Yes, and I think perhaps some of the hardest problems will face those people who have rather strong religious beliefs, because yes, this is a time, honestly, when they need to really have quite an open mind and be prepared to change when their intuition tells them that there is a greater truth than what they already know.
Right, right. And that's powerful, too. And the best way to look at that is you can add all this consciousness to it. And, you know, because the angels always say, well, they're not here to change our beliefs and all that stuff. They're just here to add to the awareness of who they are and to remembering who we are. But it's really important to really keep an open mind. I think we're seeing some of that come forward with people who don't believe in all the psychic world. And some of those people will never be able to see beyond that, because it's not only about this, it's about anything in their life. They're not open to opening of consciousness in terms of where they need to be. So, you know, we're seeing some of that come forward, and some people are shifting, you know, so that's, you know, that's a great thing when people are able to shift and add to the expansion and look outside of the box versus staying inside this safe little neat box.
Absolutely, yes. And I notice you've also said that the healing alignment takes the work of the body and the soul together again as one. So what do you think caused it to cause the separation?
Well, I think when we shifted to a kind of a fear alignment, you know, we've been there for many, 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 many years. And I think we did a separation. And really what we have aligned to is because we're so connected to building this spiritual awareness that we connected that the body is bad, because that's the human perspective. That's the uncomfortableness, what we like to, you know, connect to. And then the soul part is the enlightened space. So then we've really separated, because those are very two separate energies. And so now it's about really bringing back, because we are indeed here to learn to be humans and to find balance within our humanness and our spiritualness. And so that's where the human self and the soul self is coming together in a very high consciousness, because we're evolving and as I mentioned earlier, our frequencies are going up. So when you get that frequency lift, the soul self and the human self then reemerge, because we're now understanding that the human experience is just as important as the the soul experience, and the human experience will always be behind the soul experience, because the soul experience is advanced. And so the difficult and comfortable part for us as humans is that human experience, because sometimes we run from it, and we need to embrace it, because that is indeed why we're here. And so, you know, it's just really finding that balance. So that's really the true balance, and really staying in that strong space, and stop trying to push the ego all the way out of the line, because that doesn't work either, because that keeps you unbalanced.
Yes, indeed. I certainly agree with you on that one. Now, you tell us that the angels have been talking a lot about slowing down. Mm-hmm. What is the reason for that?
It's really, you know, part of it is it's with the frequency adjustment. We need to kind of embrace the experience, and we move really, really fast, you know, with all the technology and all that kind of stuff. We want to speed up, but it's really about slowing down our energy. Our actions are pretty okay most of the time. It just depends on the person, but they really want us to slow down so we're catching the experience of who we are, because when we speed up, we just don't pay attention. We don't pay attention to anything. And we do that ultimately for distraction. So we don't have to work on ourselves. So we don't have to face the healing and the awareness and go deep within who we are. And so, because a lot of people, quite honestly, 99.9% of people, which is a lot of us, we're focusing on things that are meaningless. And that doesn't help us. And so that slowing down piece, the minute you start to slow down, you start to get into your feelings. You start to get into your heart. And so that's the conscious awareness of that. And it's really about the energy. And it's also to help us keep our energy body very, very balanced and grounded. Instead of, you know, a lot of spiritual teachers and healers are going through their own stuff as well as light workers, but they tend to want to come out of their bodies and not have to face the feeling of being the human. And so that slowing down process will help us to really heal deeply. It'll help us come together as a oneness, but also embrace everything and make sure we're taking every step we're needed to do versus just taking a step here and there. So it's more about clarity and really looking at what is right in front of us, because when we're speeding up, we're just missing all that stuff, the really good stuff.
Right. Now you're talking about finding out who we are. That's a very good question, I think. So I'll ask you, who are we?
Well, you know, it's the biggest role we have is to understand the oneness, and that's ultimately who we are, is to really come together as a loving source. And so that's a really good question. But we all have separate experiences to apply to the oneness. So we're here to really help the soul and the human self evolve. We're here to help the alignment. We're here to help the universe really evolve to the next level of the universe. And so when we come here to do the work, and sometimes there are people that come to the planet to just exist because they haven't been here as many times. And so the ultimate awareness is that we're here to connect and understand the frequency vibration of love. Because what we understand on the planet to be love is only about 10% of what it truly is. It's a frequency vibration, and we have to understand and who we are. We are beings who are here to be the experience. We're not here to learn the experience. We're here to be the experience, and that means oneness with who we are, and that brings us back to the oneness collection. So that really helps us to complete the universe and be in the space of the universe. So everything is about to be it, to be a physical and energetic level of that level of consciousness.
Fine. Now, how do we relate what we're doing to Mother Earth?
It depends on what your life purpose is and all of that. But there is a real strong alignment, and the biggest thing we need to understand is we need to get away from the physical awareness of everything, because everything is energetic. When we can get into the level, and everybody who is doing the work and working on themselves and empowering them, the energetic space is what brings us to Earth, the Earth level. And that connection. So we feel very grounded at times and other times not. The times that we are, we're very, very connected to that work. So that's a real broad question, but it's it's really about the work that you're doing on yourself and how that aligns to the earth level. You know, so it's just a matter of when you're willing to surrender, and when you find those places of balance, that's where it is. So there's lots of levels that people can do in terms of their work that's going to apply to Mother Earth and the alignment of the earth.
Yes, well, I asked you that because there are some spiritual messages that talk quite a lot about Mother Earth and the what we owe her as a sentient being for allowing us to have our many lifetimes on the Earth.
Yes.
And I gather that the higher energies are also lifting up Mother Earth as well. So I was wondering whether, in your view, we should be also thinking about the role of Mother Earth and trying to help her as well.
Yeah, because the planet has given us an awful lot, and it's time for us to give back. And so it's really about again, it goes back to the oneness with the planet. So everything is oneness, and we need to really, you know, honor that space and give it back and find that sense of connection. So it's more the energetic connection. And I think the biggest role too is really ultimately living your purpose and connecting to that and working toward that. And that comes in its own time and space, and that practice of really coming to the planet to do what you, in a sense, signed up for, as we like to say, is really helping the earth heal. That's really helping the earth heal, because it's in a sense, I always say, it makes the earth smile when we do what we're supposed to do in terms of our life work and our spiritual work.
Right. Now, I gather part of your work in your workshop is teaching people how to work with elemental and spirit realms. I'm intrigued by the idea of working with the elemental realms. What would you like to say about that?
Yeah, my work has kind of shifted a little bit, so I don't do as many workshops where I'm teaching people how to work with angels and the elemental realms and all that. I'm more of the healing alignment of that. But what I do with the elementals, I've always had a strong connection to the fairies and the entire elemental realm. So I really, you know, usually that's going to draw, when I do workshops on that, that's going to draw people who are aligned to that. So it's more about, and that is kind of what we're talking about, it's more of the environmental type connection, and that's the alignment I have with the elementals is really looking at, you know, the wind and the earth and fire and all of that and that connection as well. But it's more about knowing that the fairies are very much a part of, you know, they're angels, but they're part of helping us with, you know, working with the environment and really finding that deep connection to, as we were talking about, Mother Earth. So I really incorporate that as more of the nature angels, is what some people call them. I call them environmental angels, to help us connect and clean up, you know, the earth and those types of things, but yeah, really look at what our direction is and what our purpose is in terms of supplying that energy to the earth.
Right, that's part of your contact with the spirit world. Do you also have contact with people who've already passed on?
I do have some of that. I'm actually going to be doing more work with that, but I do mainly, I focus on, you know, work, my major focus is with the angels and all of that, but I do have, you know, spirits come in and, you know, when I'm doing readings and things of that nature, and, you know, I have a lot of contact with some of the Mayan leaders have been coming forward in terms of channeling on that level. So yeah, I do get some of, you know, people just kind of pop in sometimes when I'm doing an angel reading, you know, the sister will pop in and that's really great. So I just incorporate it all together. I don't specifically do a mediumship or things of that nature. And I will down the road, probably. It seems like I'm kind of headed in that direction too, but they more or less, I just let them come in with the angels and I just do it from that perspective. But yeah, so I have actually received referrals from the other side, which I always, when that first happened, I thought that was incredible. I had a client who, her sister, who is crossed, referred her to me from the other side. So that was quite interesting when that happened. So I've had that happen quite a few times since then. So there is quite the contact on that level.
Right. Now, I gather that you have another book coming out called Awakening to the Angelic Lights. Is that still on the way?
Yes, I'm doing a rewrite right now, so I'm kind of writing two books right now. So, so lots going on with that. But yeah, the Awakening to the Angelic Light is my memoirs, my work with working with the angels. So it kind of covers a lot because it covers my experience, number one, and then it really talks about how to work with a sensitive child because of my experience as being a sensitive child, and then it also teaches people how to work with the angels as I incorporate that, intertwining that into my memoirs and my experiences. So it's a very powerful book. So I wanted it to be more flowing, and when I got close to completing it, I wanted to revise some of it, and so that's what we're doing right now. So,
it'll be a few months away then before it's likely to be published.
Yeah. It's a little bit away. So, and I've got some other writing projects that I've kind of put in front of that one. So it'll be coming in the, you know, hopefully by the middle of next year, you'll see that.
Is that your first book?
Yes, it is. Yes, that'll be my first book.
All right.
Yeah, so it's been a long time coming. So I've been working for some time. So it's going to be a very useful book in a lot of ways. Like I said, there's three points of it. So yeah, the books just keep coming to me. I mean, I've probably in my head right now, I have about 12 books.
Gracious.
So right now, like I said, I'm writing like two or three at once. I'm just kind of taking notes on one of them. But you know, there's experiences in it, and a lot of them have. The one I'm working on beside this one has a lot to do with our alignment right now. So I have a real strong focus with that. And it's just really about self-identity and self-love and really looking at some of the things we're doing that are keeping us stuck. So again, very useful book for the current times.
Yes. Now, your first message you ever had, or the most important one, was about helping people to help themselves. Now, if somebody came to you and said they didn't quite know what to do, what would be your advice?
Well, you know, I often take people through this process. It's called, it can be called passion mapping, or I call it soul purpose mapping. And that's when you really look back in terms of connecting to your life purpose. You look at what were your interests, and teaching people about energetic levels and what really intrigues you and moves you into that feeling state where you're almost ready to cry in a sense. And just really looking at that, you know, looking at books that you did, looking at, you know, maybe trips that you took that you were connected to. And so starting with childhood, looking what the interest level was there. And just really kind of following through that and then moving into your adult life and up to where you are now, that's going to give you a real clear indication that what your life purpose is. And that's what I take people through. But it's also important to know that we have more than one purpose. We're not here to do just one purpose, some more than others. But it's really about just looking at every decision that you've made, every job that you've had, there is an alignment to your purpose. So, and it's important, and a lot of times people ask, well, why don't the angels just tell me what my purpose is? Because we need to learn these lessons through everything that we do, and that leads you up to your purpose, because if it's just given to you, it's not going to be as effective in that way, and we have to really align to it, and as I was talking about earlier, we have to be it. And that's really kind of the connection. So the mapping really works really well, just looking at what you really were drawn to and puts you into that feeling state that, you know, for some people that's gardening, for some people that's reading, and so you'll lead up to that. So that feeling of, you know, where there's emotion involved and you're connected and the rest of the world just kind of disappears. Those type of situations will lead you to your life purpose. And you can kind of see the comparisons if you do the mapping. And just really look at what that is, and that'll give you some indication, maybe not the complete indication of what it is, but it'll head you in the right direction.
Fine. Do you talk to your people in workshops or that come to you for individual readings or whatever about trying to achieve a level as near as they can of unconditional love?
Yeah, that's a top priority. Every workshop that I design is around that, and I design all my workshops with the angels, but it's all about, they're all designed around self-love and self-identity, and to really open that space of consciousness, and it's important, just we need to be on this divine order, so to speak, of really looking at who we are and looking at the reasons why we do the things that we do, and just take some time to really identify that, because then that will open you the door to self-love, and so just you know, moving into that high conscious level. And I truly believe that it's something we work on our entire time here. We get to a level of vibration and then we're able to soar above that. But it's really about just really letting go. Forgiveness, and especially forgiveness of the self, is one of the most important things to do to move into that pathway of self-love and move into a higher conscious level of how you feel about yourself, because that's really the source of it. And all healers, people who are connected to their purpose as being a healer, should be really working through forgiveness, because that's really the doorway to everything.
Yes. It must come very hard to some people to be told that, because humans by nature in the normal way hold grudges or resentment against those who they think have done them some harm. So do you find that a difficult one to help people with?
Yes, at times it is, because sometimes our energy is very dense, and if we are only thinking in one way, because forgiveness is about the individual in terms of the person taking back your power, and it doesn't condone bad behavior or any of those things. So I think when we look at it from that point of view, there may be thinking about it a little bit different, maybe not ready to surrender yet, but it is more difficult on that level. But with the life lessons and the level of where they're at, they'll consciously at some point come around to looking at that, especially in this time we're in right now, looking at forgiveness and enlightenment a little bit different. So it'll draw a closer alignment to what they want to, but it can be difficult if they're really, you know, stuck in that space of like, I can't let go of this.
Indeed, yes. Now, you've mentioned the breath, the body, and the soul in one sentence. Does breathing, in the sense of breathing exercises, come into the question here?
Yeah, you know, the breath is very important. It not only keeps us alive, but it also is a source of our intention. So it really helps us to, number one, it helps us keep us grounded, centered, but it also opens up the soul in terms of that connection. I mean, the soul is already open, but it's going to help us as humans and our dense energy to be connected. So the breath is really a very strong force of what we do. And there's energy that's connected to our breath, and we just need to start paying attention to that, because it's really a guiding source for everything that we do. So any type of healing we're involved in, there's always breath work. You know, they talk about it in yoga, they talk about it in general. Healing is just find the breath. And the breath is really a source of grounding and centering and taking us beyond, because the breath is always involved in terms of spiritual work and in terms of healing work in everything that we do. So it's a very powerful source and connecting. So we need to think deeper about the breath, because it's a good thing.
Is the problem, generally speaking, that people don't really breathe deep enough? They don't take in a full sort of lung full of air.
That is correct. Yeah, we do a lot of shallow breathing, especially when we're under stress or we're confused. It's a protection mechanism, so to speak, to breathe from the neck up. And we don't get any clarity by doing that. So, you know, when I'm doing a reading for somebody and they're telling me about something intense, I can feel their energy field, number one, but I can tell that their breathing is very shallow and they're just, you know, breathing from the neck up. And as soon as they start to surrender that and breathe through the entire body, is what I like to call it, then they start, their energy just completely opens up. And it also is very good for the chakras, because the chakras just really release then, and then the energy flows that's not supporting the chakra system out. And so that's a very important thing. So it's, again, yeah, you can see that in people, and especially through these times that we're in right now, some of the human stuff, we can see that the breathing has really shifted, and people need to be reminded of that once again.
So I'm sure you advocate people doing meditation so that they can really relax themselves, and then to introduce sort of breathing exercises with it. Because if people are really stressed, I tend to think that they're not breathing properly anyway.
Right, they're not. Yeah, it's really important that we, you know, and the more we get used to this awareness of a lot of these things that we haven't talked about for years, but the breath, if we get used to just breathing, like starting out almost like a meditation. You know, meditation is much deeper than the breath, but the breath leads to the meditation. So if we get in the habit of just really breathing thoroughly, and when we do get stressed and remember that, so it's just more of changing the habit of remembering that, oh, I need to breathe because I'm stressed, because most of the time that will take about 50% of it away in terms of your energy alignment. So it really opens your energy alignment and allows you to breathe through the entire body.
Right. Now, I haven't read anywhere in the articles I've read of yours so far anything related to karma. Do you think that karma is a part of people's lives?
I do. I do. There's a lot of karmic relationships and just really healing karma and all that, and be willing to release that. So anytime you're confronted with something you feel is karma, it's important to heal that, because that's part of the mission of why you've returned, is we need to heal those old relationships. So when we were talking about past life, there's a lot of karma stuff incorporated in past lives too, because there's, you know, and many people who have studied that know that some of the same people they're here with again, they have been with in other lifetimes, and that usually has to do with karma.
Indeed, yes. It possibly helps to get people through difficult relationships if they realize that the reason for it is to learn from the challenges that it presents.
Yes, and that's sometimes we overlook that as humans, but we need to really look at, like, every relationship is meant for a reason. It happens for a reason, even if it's very short term and maybe it's like aggressive, but we have to look at that as like there's a lesson in that. And so we take that piece of it, and then hopefully we can kind of surrender the rest of it, even if we've gone our separate ways. That's a really a diversion of karmic working with that healing process, because it's very important for us to be always in acknowledgement of that. And one of the things that I talk about a lot is evaluating things that you've already accomplished, whether they be easy for you, whether they be difficult for you, and look at what the valuable lesson is in that. The life lesson is what we like to call that. And because that's really going to help you to heal that situation, especially if you're holding a grudge, as we were talking about earlier, it'll help you release the rest of the energy that doesn't support you at all. So it's just a matter of really evaluating. And also by evaluating, we raise our vibration, because we open up and look at, oh, I've accomplished this. I worked through this. I overcame that. And that just opens the door for more higher vibration for you.
Yes, indeed. I agree entirely with you. There is some indication from people who channel space beings that being our true families from a galactic point of view, that they are in the very near future due to come and sort of reintroduce themselves to us. Do you have any beliefs or thoughts about that?
Say that again.
There are space beings.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Are said to be, and I believe this, our true family. That is where our galactic links are.
Yes.
And I wondered what you thought about that yourself.
Yeah, I have a lot of star energy and galactic energy myself. More so as we head, we're seeing more people, you know, kind of embracing that and being okay, this is the next level of spirituality. And we are being connected with the, you know, channeling and types of beings out there that were part of our family, so to speak, those of us who have that, you know, alignment. And that's really being reintroduced, and lots of people are doing very deep channeling and, you know, connections on those levels. So we are being reintroduced to that, because it's not, you know, what Hollywood has made out to be the alien point of view. It's not so much like that. But there, you know, as always, there's going to be people who look at it as fear, and there are going to be people who look at it as love. So it's something that's coming forward, and we're being reestablished, and it's going to help us, again, raise to a new vibration for those of us who have that alignment. And a lot of us do have that alignment, but it's kind of the dominant type of vibration right now.
When you talk of the rising vibrations, do you talk of that in terms of dimensions, in as much that we are generally looked upon as being in the third dimension now, and there is talk that we could be moving into the fourth, even fifth dimension?
Yeah, and that's really what the vibration is about. It's just really raising us up to a higher conscious vibration in terms of dimensions and just really feeling that. So that's coming forward, and you know, and there's a lot of indication of terms of the action that people are taking and the collection, the overall collection of what we're doing here on the planet. That's going to take us to a new higher level in terms of dimensions and really embracing that. So that's a powerful thing, and I think there's more support coming forward for us in terms of, you know, support from it's almost as if other planets are in star planets and all that are waiting for us to catch up because they want to see what the results are. So that's, you know, that's an exciting thing. So we are evolving and we're moving into a great space.
Yes, I do believe that. Now, from the point of view of my questions that I had prepared for you, I've sort of more or less come to the end of the line. But is there any aspect of your work that I haven't covered that you would like to talk about?
Well, I do. I'm going to be doing some certification. I'm going to be doing a huge angel intuitive certification, and we're going to call it something a little bit different than that. But it'll have 5 levels to it. That it'll take a couple years to get it. So that's coming forward. And so, but I continue to do readings, and I do intuitive coaching, which is part reading, part coaching, but it's more of an agenda in terms of a specific goal. So I do a lot of that. I'm starting to do more work on that. And so people can check out my website at eddiemullins.com for more of the information that I do. But my work is really starting to evolve in terms of direction of where we're going and to really look at energy alignments that we hold on to and different characteristics that we hold and how we can, you know, my role is to define those for people so they can actually see some of the barriers that is really holding them back from evolving in a way that they need to be. So just lots of more intuitive coaching coming forward from me and workshops and all that kind of stuff and books, of course, as I was talking about. So it's, you know, you hit on most of it, but it's just, you know, really more about just conscious awareness. My work has always been about what's going on right now, here and now.
I mean, as you've been going along over the years, do your angelic helpers give you an idea of how things are progressing in the whole of the world?
Yes, they do. You know, all the time. I think a lot of people connect to that, and we are progressing in a very powerful way. But they will also tell me, you know, okay, we need to. This is what a focal point needs to be. And I think when people who do the type of work that I do, and there's millions of us out there, I think when we're given what I like to call new assignments, it's really because we're lacking in this in terms of a planet, and we're given new direction in terms of what we need to focus on. So when there's those shifting awarenesses, even though that's about purpose and elevating, it's also about what's going on here now. So, but the overall conception of that is we're moving in a really good direction. It's just the little tweaks that we need to do, but it's really about focusing on vibration, focusing on the collection of oneness, and doing what we're able to do within our potential in terms of the time and space that we're in.
Would you say that they are, in general terms, satisfied with the progress we're making?
Yeah, I would definitely say that the progress that we're making, you know, always, you know, because the energy is so dense here, we're at times we can, in certain situations, we can be behind a little bit, and other times we're right on task where we need to be. So it's more about, you know. It just depends on what level it's at. But if overall, the message that I get from the angels is we're right on task and we're moving into a higher vibration. So it's more about us expanding out versus looking at it as we're right where we need to be. So there's flaws everywhere, but it's really on track. Just what I get the message that I get from them.
That's wonderful and encouraging.
Yes.
Well, Eddie, I think I really have come to the end now. You've given our listeners your website address so they can get some more information there. And we've spoken about your coming book, although that's evidently quite a few months away yet. So I think I have to thank you very much for coming onto the program. It's been very interesting, and I admire the work you're doing.
Thank you very much, and thank you for inviting me. I really appreciate that.
Well, it's been very nice having you. Thanks a lot, and I wish you every success in your future work and, of course, the book when it comes out.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, Eddie. Right, friends, as I tend to usually say, that was another interesting guest. Next week, I'm hoping to have Vera Loren, who has written a book about Jesus's hidden teachings. I'm just waiting confirmation that she will be available, so that should be yet another interesting guest. So thank you for being with me today. God bless you all. Thank you.